Will you be turning in your Bible to Matthew, the 24th chapter? I'll begin with verse 36, and we'll then read four verses, and then a little further down in the chapter. But beginning with verse 36 of Matthew 24, our Lord Jesus himself makes this declaration: "But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of, so the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be." I ask you to come down to verse 43 and 44. "But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Well, you're really not supposed to be here. Did you know that? Because you were supposed to have vaporized on Friday. But we're all here, aren't we? They're at it again. ABC, I believe it is, in one of the reports that I looked at. Now, I don't know where they got their statistics. They said that this is the 160th time that some fool has pronounced the end of the world. What do you know about the Mayan calendar? Well, you say, "Gene, up until the other day, I had not even so much as heard that there was a Mayan calendar." What do you know about the Mayans? What do you know about the Mayan civilization? Do you know that it was a very, very ancient civilization, going back literally thousands of years, primarily in Central America and in the Yucatan Peninsula of Mexico? There are 7 million Mayans that still live in the Yucatan. So it is a civilization. It is a people. While they are a very, very ancient civilization, there are the Mayan people that continue to live in Guatemala, in Central America, and in Belize, and, as we've said, primarily down in southern Mexico. They were pyramid builders. They had a very, very advanced civilization. But do you know who the Mayans really were? They were, first of all, idol worshipers. They had their gods: the sun, the moon, the stars, the cycles of the earth. What's wrong with the Mayan calendar? Well, if you say you go back 2,000 or 3,000 or 5,000 years, they had a pretty accurate calendar, but do you know they were wrong? 365 days in the year. Well, you say that's what we've got. Yes, but we've got something else. Every 4 years, what happens? We have a leap year, don't we? I don't know who first called it that. We have a leap year and we have an added day that is added to our calendar every 4 years. The Mayans did not have that. They did not know about that quarter day that they needed to add in order that their calendar might be accurate. What do you suppose that would amount to over a period of 5,000 years? An idolatrous people with cruel sacrifices, taking a human life and literally tearing the heart out of the individual while they were still living. How much would you trust people like that? The Mexican government is kind of alarmed. They have tried to tell us, you've got it all wrong. The Mayans were not saying that would be the end of the world. They were saying it would be a new cycle in life, whatever that may mean. Anyway, you don't have to worry about the tourist industry's disclaimer about the Mayans. What are we saying? We are saying that no man knows when the end of the world will come. That's what our Lord Jesus has just told us. Not even the angels of heaven. Back in Deuteronomy, the 29th chapter, there is one verse that is found at the end of that chapter that ought to be able to alert us to how much man knows. The passage starts off by saying this, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God." The secret things belong to the Lord our God. Oh, I have no idea all of the motives that are behind an individual having the audacity to stand up and say, listen to me, Friday, the 21st of December 2012 is going to be the end of the world. Secret things belong to God, and God has not seen fit to reveal that to anybody. No man knows. I don't know if you watched the television on that day, Friday, I did. And do you know that there were literally throngs, multitudes of people who believed that that would be the end of the world? And they gathered together waiting for the end of the world, and it did not happen. Multitudes of people through the ages of time have been disappointed by such foolish predictions on the part of men. Don't place your trust in those kind of predictions. The Mayans or no one else ever knew or can know when the end of the world will come. It is our purpose for the few minutes that is ours this evening hour to cast aside all of the speculation, all of the predictions, all of the foolish guessings on the part of man in order that we may simply look at the Scriptures, the Word of God. This book that has been written by our Lord to tell us everything that we need to know. What do we need to know? Well, the first thing that we need to know is, yes, indeed, the world is going to come to an end someday. Let's read about it. Look over at 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, and oh, there is such a wonderful, thorough description of the end of the world. Peter, through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes in 2 Peter 3 and verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come As a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Oh, my dear friends, what's going to happen at the end of the world? I don't know what words we have in the English language that can describe it. Just looking at it from the standpoint of what Peter tells us, there's not going to be anything left. Talk about an atomic bomb of our recent era. Talk about a hydrogen bomb. I don't care what kind of bomb you're talking about. There has never been anything like what is going to happen at the end of the world. Disaster? A great conflagration? Oh, you just choose any word in the English language that you're familiar with. And what it is telling you is we have never, ever, ever seen that kind of disaster that is going to take place. Every person will be involved. You say, well, when the end of the world comes, I think I'm going to hide someplace. Concerning another end in Revelation 6, you can read about how people said, fall on us, we're going to hide in the caves. It will not matter where you are on that day. It will not matter whether you're flying in an airplane, whether you're plowing your ground, whether you are busy at work. That will be it. That will be it. What else is going to happen on that day? Well, all of the dead people that have ever lived here on earth are going to be resurrected. The resurrection is a Bible subject. Jesus, our Savior, who is the light of the world, said, as it's written in John the 5th chapter, verses 28 and 9, he says, don't marvel at this. The hour is coming in which all that are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of condemnation. A general resurrection. A resurrection that is going to occur in the same hour. And the New Testament scriptures help us out in identifying when that will take place. When will it take place? Well, there is another wonderful, wonderful event that is going to happen at the end of the world, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ is going to appear again. How wonderful it is that the scriptures tell us all about this. Over in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, and the Apostle Paul is writing these words to comfort The Thessalonian Christians who supposed, well, you know, when our Lord comes back again, those of our loved ones who have died, they're going to miss out on this. And Paul says, no, that's not going to happen. So in your Bible, look at 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning with verse 13, and let's see these events. Paul says, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. Now here it is. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. And so Paul says, comfort one another with these words. In just a few minutes, we're going to be talking about, well, what should be our attitude about the end of the world, about the heavens and the earth being burned up. We'll talk about that in just a few minutes. But what a wonderful comfort it was to our old Thessalonian brethren back there to get this news. There's going to be a resurrection from the dead. Now, we noticed in John 5 that it will be a general resurrection, but the Thessalonians were concerned about their families and about their brethren that had died. And so it centers on the fact, oh, what a wonderful time that is going to be. Our loved ones who have died in Christ, they will all be raised from the dead, and those who are still alive, will it be you and me? Well, maybe, but those who are still alive, we will see the Lord as he comes back again with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ will rise first. What else is going to happen? Oh, the Bible just gives us so much information. As a matter of fact, it tells us everything we need to know. And do we know what else is going to happen at that very time when the dead are raised and when Jesus comes back again? Yes. There is going to be a day of judgment. A day of judgment such as this world has never, ever known. A day of judgment such as has never, ever occurred because, again, every single individual that has ever lived, everyone that God has placed a soul in, every accountable individual is going to stand before our Lord at that judgment. Matthew 25 and verse 31 beginning, when the Son of Man comes in his glory. Now, that's what it is. That's the time. And all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he'll set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Is there anybody that has been so foolish as to say, I don't have to worry about Judgment Day. I'm not going to be around. You just look at all of the ages of time that have gone by. Jesus has not come back again. I wonder if he ever will. And the end of the world, save the planet. Save the planet. The end of the world, is that ever going to happen? God's Word tells us every single thing we need to know. Do you know who's going to be there at the judgment day? You. You. You say, well, I'm going to try to miss it. You can't do it, can you? You can't do it. Somebody says, I don't like the idea. I don't care whether you'd like it or not. God doesn't care whether you'd like it or not. You're going to be there. How about your Uncle Joe? Yeah, if you got an Uncle Joe, he's going to be there as well. And Aunt Susie and Uncle Tim and just everybody that has ever lived going all the way back there, just as far as you can go back from the time God created the first man and the first woman, every single accountable individual that has ever lived is going to be there at the judgment. What a great day. Something we've never, ever experienced. But you've got God's word for it. Now, if you believe in God, you're going to say, this is wonderful. This is something you and I can depend on. The world is going to come to an end one day. There is going to be a resurrection. Jesus is going to come back again, and there is going to be that great day of judgment. What else is going to happen? Heaven and hell will have their beginning. I'm still here in Matthew 25, and verse 34 says, then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Oh, how blessed are the righteous going to be? Do you know that every trial and every suffering and every persecution and every tribulation and every difficulty the children of God have ever been called on to make? It's going to seem like nothing. Can't you feature yourself there? Here we are. Jesus our Lord is on his throne. And he turns to those on his right hand. Come, come, you blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom that has been prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I want that to happen to me. But there are those on the left hand also. And verse 41 warns us. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart. "Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Now, you can get mad at God. You can say, that's not fair. You can say, if I was God, I wouldn't do that. It doesn't change a thing. Doesn't change a thing. Why do we have these blessings and these warnings? Well, because this God that you talk about and I talk about as being the God of love is exactly that. God, why are you telling me that there will be a day of judgment and that there will be some that he will say, "Come ye blessed of my Father," and others he'll say, "Get away from me, depart from me into everlasting fire." Justice, true justice, right justice, belongs to God. Verse 46 of Matthew 25. "And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." How should you feel about it? How should you feel about it? I'll tell you. I don't think I miss it one bit. How do the predictions of man want you to feel when they say Friday the 21st of December is the end of it? They want you to be just scared out of your skin. That's how they want you to be. Let me tell you something. You know this. No one can prevent the end of the world. No one can. I'm not opposed to people saying, let's have a clean earth. I'm not opposed to the fact of saying, let's have a good environment. Let's have a good atmosphere. Let's not do this or that to destroy the world. But oh, how egotistical we are when we think we can save the world. You can't do it. The humanist cannot do it. The environmentalist cannot do it. Folks, that's just not our job. It's not our job. Whenever God says time is up, time is up. Time is up. No one can prevent it. How should you feel? Well, I would want all of my friends and acquaintances and every person that I meet who says I'm an unbeliever, I would want them to be afraid. I would want every unbeliever to just be as scared as they could possibly be of the end of the world and the judgment of Jesus Christ, because it's not anything to be made fun of. It's not a light thing for us to talk about God's sure promises that this old world is going to be burned up. And if I didn't have anything else to go on, I would just look at this passage in 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, and in verse 7, listen to what Paul says. "And to give you who are troubled rest with us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those, listen, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Mr. Unbeliever, what are you going to do about that? Ha! Ha! I don't believe it! Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. It's going to happen. And Mr. Unbeliever, you better get busy and do some honest investigation. You better do some honest investigation about how this old world came into existence to start with. You better do some investigation as to how it is that man is different from animal. Oh, you better do some investigation to find out whether the book, the Bible, is a book of lies or whether it's the book of truth. And Mr. and Mrs. Fence Setter, do you know who I'm talking about? Those who just can't make up their mind. And they say, oh, we ought to be nice to everybody. You should not condemn people who are immoral. You should not condemn people who say, well, we can't know whether there is God. Oh, come on. Come on. Make up your mind. Be courageous. Be a man, woman, young person who takes a stand. What is right? God is right. God's word is right. How should you feel if you're a Christian? I'll tell you what. If you haven't already done so, change your mind about the end of the world. Do you know what? When this old world is burned up, it is going to be the happiest day for those who are the obedient children of God. Look back at 2 Peter 3 again. The wording there is something that just causes you to say, is that the way I feel about it? The scripture here says up in verse 12 of 2 Peter 3, looking for and hastening the day of God. Looking for and hastening. Some of the revisions say, looking for and earnestly desiring. But that's it. If Peter is saying, if it were possible on the part of the believer, he would hasten the day when this old world burns up because of the wonder of the reward that he's going to give us. Yes, a reward we don't deserve. A reward not because there is any child of God among us that would say, I'm better than anybody else. But it has to do with the fact that God has blessed us with the gospel. And my dear brother and sister, if you've rendered obedience to it, when that old world comes to an end and Jesus our Lord appears again, you be happy. You be happy. Just got one more thing. How do you prepare for the end of the world. You say, well, Gene, I can't prepare. You've already said there's not a thing I can do about preventing the end of the world. No, there's nothing we can do to prevent the end of the world, but there's something you can do about yourself. If you're not a Christian, I urge you, obey the gospel. The Lord is coming. Remember 2 Thessalonians 1. The Lord is coming. He's going to take vengeance on those who know not God and who obey not the gospel. Oh, gospel preachers, be busy every day. Oh, disciple of the Lord, those people at work that are not yet Christians, maybe they've never heard the gospel. Oh, how we need to shout the message. How we need to never be tired in telling our loved ones, these aunts and uncles of ours, these mothers and fathers, these brothers and sisters, tell everybody the saving gospel that can render them safe on the day of judgment. What can you do about it as a Christian? Prepare. Listen again to 2 Peter 3. Therefore, verse 11, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Verse 14, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. Are you a Christian living in sin? You better get your life right. Are you an indifferent Christian? Do you care whether you worship God on the Lord's Day or whether you don't worship him? Does Christianity mean something to you? Are you a defender of the faith, or are you a weakling? Have you given in to the world where you say, well, let people believe whatever they want? Oh, dear brothers and sisters, be diligent. Be diligent. Yeah, look forward to the coming of the day of the Lord with great expectation and all of that joy that we ought to have thinking about the end of the world. But prepare. Are you a subject of the gospel? Do you need to be baptized to wash away your sin? Have you fallen away? Have you grown indifferent and weak? Strengthen yourself in the Lord. Jim, lead us in that good song. Won't you come as we sing?